This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msvnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
Our Coaches in Quarantine segments continue. Coach Sonny Dykes, head coach of SMU, is with us now on the Bud Light Seltzer Hotline. Good morning, Coach. Hope you're doing all right out there in Dallas.
Yeah, doing great. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, we appreciate you coming on. Jim just mentioned distance position group meetings. I know this is not going to be every conference right now, but I'm sure you guys have looked into that. How helpful would this be right now just to be able to see the faces of your position groups?
Yeah, that's honestly something that we've kind of been doing. I mean, since this happened, we had, we went on spring break. We came back from spring break, and we realized that this might go a little bit longer than I think we originally anticipated. And so at that point, we started, trying to figure out what can we do to make sure that we just stay in contact with our players, just besides football. And so we started doing a lot of Zoom meetings with our players and, nothing really that organized, just making sure that we FaceTimed our guys, got them on the phone, talked to them a little bit. We started doing some, we got 3 days of spring practice before it was interrupted. And so, we've been making clips and cut-ups and sending them to our players. And I've been really impressed with how much time our players have spent, looking at football. We have the technology that can tell us, what our players have been looking at as far as film that they've been reviewing, how much time have they spent at football. But really, primarily what you're worried about with this whole thing right now is just their well-being, their safety, and particularly their mental safety and just their, the way that they're doing mentally. And this is a difficult time for young people. It's unprecedented, and a lot of these kids have never seen anything like this. I certainly never have. And so I think you worry about mental health as much as you do anything else.
Between California and SMU, you are an offensive analyst for Gary Patterson at TCU. Nick Saban has brought in a handful of former head coaches for a variety of analyst jobs. What all did that entail when you worked for Gary Patterson?
It was an interesting year for me. I'd been a head coach at Louisiana Tech, and we'd had some success and gone to Cal, and felt like we'd made some progress in that program. Going from one win to 5 win to 8 wins in year 3, and just kind of getting the program back on track. Got released and had a year where I had an opportunity to kind of just sit back and take more of a big picture approach. When you're a head coach, you get caught up in so many of the little details, and you're constantly trying to fix problems, and you're really critical of yourself. When things don't go the way that you want them to, you self-analyze a lot. You're very critical. And so what I had a chance to do is just look back at what we did at Cal, apply it to what, Gary had done at TCU. Obviously, Gary's been remarkably successful at TCU, has a great track record of building a program that historically hadn't been real successful and turning it into one of the top programs in the country. And so what I was able to do is, compare what he did to what we did, how he did it, what he did, how he utilized all the different resources he had. And so it was a great lesson for me. I spent a lot of time looking at film of opponents. The offensive coordinator at TCU is a guy named Sonny Cumbie, who played quarterback for us when I was coaching at Texas Tech. So I was very familiar with the system that they were running. And so what I had a chance to do basically was just, take notes and of what the offense was doing and share that with Sonny, and told Sonny, look, if any of these ideas are good ideas, then they're your ideas. If they're bad ideas, then they're my ideas. And just basically had an opportunity to work with them and try to just take a big picture approach. But the thing that I learned as much as anything else coming out of that experience was that we weren't that far off the mark at Cal. We really weren't. It just was one of those things. It just wasn't the right fit at the right time. It gave me a lot of confidence coming into SMU that we knew how to do things and we had the right approach, and we've been fortunate to have some success since I got here.
Sonny Dykes is with us, and we had Dave Aranda on the other day, and we've had Mike Leach on, those magical Texas Tech coaching staffs back in the day. And I asked the same question to Dave, I'll ask you here. Did you realize when you were in that room, coaches meetings back then, just how much talent you guys had in that coaching room? Could you just tell that, man, this is a lot of talent we have in this coaching meeting that we have going on right now?
Yeah, you know, the thing that struck me the most, probably when you go back and look at that staff, I mean, because you can go through them, there's just a lot of guys that have gone on and had a lot of success and have had opportunities to be head coaches. The thing that struck me as much as anything else was just how much everybody in that room loved football. You know, I think there was a real passion for the game. There was an atmosphere of sharing ideas. That's one thing I used to love was that, you know, we had a lot of young guys, whether it was players, whether it was, you know, Cliff Kingsbury that was always coming in asking questions, or Graham Harrell, or as I talked about earlier, Sonny Cumbie, or Lincoln Riley, or Dave Aranda. All those guys were young guys on, you know, either players or coaches at that time. And, you know, they would come down to my office or Dana Holgerson's office or Ruffin McNeil's office or some of the older guys, Art Browell's office, whoever it was, and they would come down and say, you know, what do you think about this? Have you thought about this? And just there was a real atmosphere of a passion for the game and learning about the game and a lot of ideas being bounced off each other. And you got to give Mike Leach a lot of credit. You know, he's the one who created that kind of atmosphere. You know, he was the guy that loved talking football and love sharing ideas. And the thing I think we learned from Mike, and it's one of the things I learned from Hal Mumme when I had a chance to work for Hal at the University of Kentucky, was Hal is fearless, you know, and I think Mike is fearless. You know, he's not afraid to try something different. He's not afraid to think outside the box. And I think that has really, I think, propelled all of us and given us a way of looking at a methodology, really, of looking at things and trying to find a different solution maybe than everybody else has.
SMU head coach Sonny Dykes is with us on the Bud Light Seltzer Hotline. Your father, obviously, Spike Dykes, was a legendary Texas Tech coach, so I know coaching football was in your blood. But you were a first baseman at Texas Tech, and you initially coached baseball, I believe, on the junior college or high school level. Why? Other than what might be the obvious answer that your dad was so good at it, why did you choose coaching football over baseball?
Well, you know, it's one of those deals. I was a little bit better baseball player than I was football player, you know, and when you're 18 years old, you know how it is. You think, oh, I might have a chance to go on and you know, make some money playing baseball. Well, I got a pretty quick reality check. You know, I wasn't near good enough to do that. But, you know, I think like everything else, you know, I got into baseball a little bit and just saw that it was it's different. I mean, coaching baseball is a great sport to coach. It's a fantastic sport to play, but it was just different than football. You know, there's just football is just such a unique game. And what makes football so special is that, you know, there are players, there are all kinds of different people that come together. You have this big team, and it's not the same kind of people. You know, it's not just tall people. You know, you have fast people, you have slow people, you have big people, you have small people. You know, you just have all these different people. And I think that's the thing that I enjoyed the most was trying to figure out a way to make everybody better, you know, and where all the guys could come and give up their insecurities and make sacrifices for their teammates and do all the things that you have to do to have a successful football team. And football is just so unique in that way because it's just made up of so many different kinds of folks and different personalities and different background. And that was one of the things that really appealed to me and was attractive. And then I think the second thing is, you know, there's so much scheme that goes into football. There's a lot of, as a coach, you get to control a big part of the game. I think sometimes as coaches, we try to control too much of the game, but I think that, you know, there is a little bit more of you can make a little bit more of an impact, I think, as a football coach than you can a baseball coach.
Coach, the three of us rarely agree on one thing, but when we were in Dallas covering Michigan State, Alabama, we were told to go to Rodeo Goat for a burger, and we all agree it is the best burger we've ever had. Have
Phenomenal.
You eaten there, and if so, how often do you go?
Yeah, no, I've eaten there. I've eaten there probably more than I should. You know, I try not to go much anymore. I've been trying to watch what I eat a little bit, but it's a great place to get a hamburger. They got great French fries. Pretty creative on what they do with their burgers. So one thing about Texas is there's plenty of great places to eat. You know, you got Texas barbecue, which I think is just fantastic, and so many great places to eat here in Dallas.
I've always wondered, one of my favorite, and I've been a sportscaster for a long time, one of my favorite guys in the world is Dale Hansen. I could never write like him. I'm not as opinionated as him. I'm not as talented as him. When Dale Hansen shows up and does an interview with Sonny Dykes, is it intimidating? Is he a lovable guy? He seems to be almost like the 60 Minutes of sports sometimes in some of the clips I've seen. What's your relationship like with Dale Hansen there in Dallas?
Yeah, you know, I like Dale. Dale has a kind of a rocky past with SMU a little bit. He was
yeah,
one
he
of the guys that, that broke the death penalty story way back when. You know, they kind of ended up, you know, with SMU losing their football program. But I mean, look, Dale was doing his job. I mean, that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to report the news, and that's what Dale did. And so, you know, I have a tremendous amount of respect for him. As you said, I think the thing that I love about Dale is he has opinions on sports, but I think a lot of times those opinions are driven more by what he thinks is right and wrong. And so I really have a tremendous amount of respect for him and the way he looks at sports and the way he looks at the characters in sports. And I think he's a real guy. I really do. I think that he's not afraid to say something that may be controversial. I think he's not afraid to say something that may be unpopular. And I have a lot of respect for him. I think he's a great journalist, and I think we need more guys like him.
Hey, this is a really random question, but your father was coaching when this occurred, and I don't know if you were on the sideline or maybe in the stands, but Double T, when the horse ran into the wall, were you there?
No, I wasn't, actually. I think I was coaching at the University of Kentucky then. I was just getting started, but I remember hearing about it and talking to people that were there. Said it was pretty wild thing. I guess, you know, that for people that don't know, in the old days at Texas Tech, they had a small track around the stadium, and after Texas Tech scored a touchdown, the masked rider would basically ride a loop around the stadium, and it was an awesome thing to see. I mean, a really cool experience for the fans, and especially for kids. Well, the horse bucked the rider, and there was a tunnel, and started to run up the tunnel and slipped and ended up, I think, breaking its neck and dying right there. And so it was a real tragic event, and obviously they don't run the horse anymore. But I remember hearing about it at the time. I went to Texas Tech and obviously grew up a Texas Tech fan. My dad was coaching there from the time I was in the fourth grade or fifth grade, sixth grade, something like that on. And so anyway, it was a crazy event that happened and something that people still talk about.
I'll be honest. I worked in Lexington for 2 years, Coach, and I would have had Double T to win at Keeneland. That's how bad I was at Keeneland in those days. I would have had Double T to win the race.
I got some great Keeneland stories from my time at Kentucky. We had a lot of fun going out there and watching some races, especially in April.
Did you ever eat the rabbit burgoo or any of that at the track?
Never had the rabbit burgoo. Had a couple of mint juleps, and those things are terrible. I won't ever have another one of those. But you know, we had a good time. We used to take our coaching staff out there sometimes at Kentucky after practice. And so, you know, in April, we'd go out there, and we'd all be wearing our Kentucky football sweats and watching some of the races at Keeneland.
Yeah, I'll tell you this, the mint julep and the rabbit burgoo do not pair well together.
Yeah, I wouldn't think so. I wouldn't think so.
That is Coach Sonny Dykes, SMU. Best of luck, Coach. Stay safe out there, and we appreciate you spending some time with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
All right, take care, Coach. He was with us on the Bud Light Seltzer Hotline at your favorite retailer now. In three flavors, strawberry, mango, or black cherry, only 100 calories, 2 carbs, and gluten-free. To recap the end of the interview, Dunaway asked him if he's got a good relationship with the reporter that got SMU football shut down.
I knew what I was doing.
And Lance asked him if he was there on the most tragic a horse running into the wall and dying.
I thought it was back in the mid-90s. No,
they were both great answers. That's what was amazing.
I knew what I was doing. Dale Hansen was you saw it on the 30 for 30. He was the guy that got the death penalty.
Oh, he got him shut down.
Yeah.
He got, 100% got him shut down.
Yeah, yes. But Sonny Dykes wasn't at SMU at the time. He's part of the rebirth of SMU. They just had the best year since the death penalty. And I've seen clips of Sonny and Dale Harris Hansen doing interviews. I knew what I was doing.
Well, I was asking just for the simple fact, look, if it would have been the rider that got thrown off into a wall and died, I wouldn't have asked the question. But I just wonder what it would have been like to be that day in Lubbock and to see a horse run into a wall like that.
I mean, they kept the game going, right?
Oh, yeah, the game. Yeah. They
nothing stops the game.
Yeah, that's a big animal to scrape up, though.
It's tough.
You end up putting a sheet over it until
I guess.
Till the end of the game.
A tarp.